Look at a map of Central Asia and you see a jigsaw puzzle of former Soviet republics. These countries have a long history of being ruled from afar and a recent history of homegrown strongmen. To learn more about what's happening in the region now, we met with Martha Brill Olcott. She's a consultant and author on Central Asian issues. She's also a senior associate at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. And she starts with one of Kyrgyzstan's neighbors, Uzbekistan.
Uzbekistan is the second country, along with Kyrgyzstan, in the region that has a U.S. military base. And it is closely aligned with the U.S. It also is on increasingly good terms with Russia and with China. So it's not an either-or relationship for the Uzbeks. It is an autocratic state. They recently had parliamentary elections that didn't meet international standards of free or fair and didn't provoke widespread public response. The government says it's in favor of opening the society, of gradual democratic reform. But I think even if we can take them as sincere, they're clueless as to how to go about it.
Kazakhstan is another country that held elections that were criticized for not exactly being free and fair, and you still have an autocratic regime in place there.
Kazakhstan is a much more open and participatory society than a place like Uzbekistan, which means that popular frustration levels don't get as high. On the one hand, it makes it more likely that an elite can overthrow a president. On the other hand, it really requires that the population be angry to overthrow a president. The president of Kazakhstan comes up for re-election in another year. He said he's going to run. And I think that's the period that the elite is focusing on as the critical period.
We should mention, you look on a map, this is a huge country in terms of land area and one of great interest to the U.S. and the world at large because there's so much oil there.
Kazakhstan is enormous, and it is of real strategic importance to the U.S., to Russia, to China. But that very sense of size is what makes a mass-driven protest movement very difficult. The society is not disparate, but it's very hard to have events in one place serve as a spark for events 1,500 miles away.
Let's look at a couple of other countries in Central Asia, former Soviet republics. Tajikistan, what's happening there?
Tajikistan had parliamentary elections on the very same day that the Kyrgyz did. And these elections got even worse marks from the OSCE.
This is the European election monitors.
By the European election monitors. There, the secular opposition has largely been muted or exhausted. The group that has kind of gotten really angry and has been most vocal in its criticisms on the election are the Islamists, because they are the political force that remains in the country and sees a role for itself in the future. Like Kazakhstan, there will be a presidential election in Tajikistan soon as well.
Do you see any signs of democracy or a movement toward democracy in Turkmenistan, one other country in Central Asia?
Turkmenistan, which has enormous gas wealth, has no signs at this point of a democracy movement. But that doesn't mean we won't wake up someday and find out that someone close to Turkmenbashi has put a bullet in his head. These kinds of societies are the ones that are very hard for us to predict changes of power.
We should just mention, you mentioned the name Turkmenbashi in Turkmenistan. This is a man who has changed his name to reflect the name of the state, to basically say, I am the state here.
Yeah, I mean, he's also changed the days of the week to reflect events in his life, from the months of years to reflect, again, this new history. He's a man who stopped time and then recreated it for the modern era.
So far, the democratic movements in former Soviet republics have seemed to be pro-Western, or at least movements that the West doesn't need to worry about. Are there movements toward revolution in some of these former Soviet republics that the West might have reason to worry about?
I think that there are movements in some of these countries that will take these societies in ways that make them less secular. But one really striking difference about even the democratic movements in this part of the world is that these are internal movements, movements for democracy at home and not for changing the foreign policy. So you're not going to get states that are either more pro-American or less pro-Russian or more pro-Russian and more anti-American out of any of these democracy movements. The focus really is to change the course of internal development in these states.
Martha Brill Olcott is an analyst at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace and author of a forthcoming book called Central Asia's Second Chance. Thanks very much.
Thank you.